If you've been listening along, you know that the creative work on Origin Story is pretty much done. Could I keep revising it? Sure, I love revising. And any time I go back and start looking at old sentences, if I let myself, I see words I want to reverse, remove, repurpose. Garrison Keillor once said that he was revising Lake Wobegon Days long after it had been published. I could, quite honestly, churn around in this novel for the rest of my life, but I don't think it would improve it. I might, in fact, begin to actively harm it. Listen, I've done what I set out to do, to the best of my ability. I engaged with some of the questions that drive me. In this case, I'm looking at how we define race in the New South. I'm looking at fatherhood and how history shapes us in ways that are older than our personal history, older than our understanding. I explored those questions within the limits of this fictional world and these fictional people. I got feedback from my local writing group chapter by chapter, and I used their notes to get a first draft. I found my way to an end that surprised me, but that was, as Flannery O'Connor commanded, also inevitable. I gave that drafty mess whole to my long-standing writing group, and I revised extensively based on their notes. And then my agent had it, and I revised. And then finally my publishing house got it, and my editor and I together did both content and line edits. Now, it's finished, and I'm in the process of letting go. I've been in a romantic, tempestuous, passionate relationship with this story for 19 months, and so this letting go thing, it's not the easiest thing in the world. The first thing I did that sort of helped me cut this cord, I gave up the title. In my head, this book has been Origin Story from its origin. I thought it was a perfect title because this is a book that grew out of the Rachel and Leah story in Genesis, which means origin. It's a book that taps into nerd culture. My version of the biblical Leah was born in 1978 and named Leah. Yes, after the princess. And she's a graphic artist, a comic book artist. An origin story is a comic book term that means how a superhero gets his powers. The book begins when my usually level-headed protagonist gets swept off her bar stool at a comic book convention by a handsome African-American and anonymous Batman and fetches up pregnant. So it's the book of Genesis, it's the baby's origin story. There's a graphic novel being written in which a superhero finds her origin story. Perfect, yes? Well, no. William Morrow, my publishing house, said the title only works if you've already read the book. If you've read the book, it's a great title. But that's not the title's job. We talked here about how to find a new title, and let me tell you, we did the process, and it took weeks. Probably because I was still so invested in the book itself. I had my editor and my writing friends send me long lists of words and themes and thoughts, anything that they could think of that related to the book as they had read it, and I churned all these words around trying to find a new title. Finally, I came up with three. My favorite of the three was Birchville in Black and White. Birchville is the fictional Alabama town where the action takes place, and in black and white implies dualism. If I had to narrow this book's theme down to three words, and if I had to edit those three words for radio, I would say the theme is dualism is bull. Also, black and white brings in our racial problems here in the South. And it also makes you think about art, photography, maybe not drawing, but still it gets the art in there. Birchville in black and white. I liked it. I also came up with The Second South. While it wasn't my very favorite, it is the title I thought we'd end up with because it raises a question. And that's a title's first job, to put a question in a potential reader's mind so that they pick the book up to find the answer. Lastly, I came up with the Almost Sisters as an homage to Rachel and Leah. So then I did what I told you I would do. I took a poll. Actually, we took two. One on my professional Facebook page, so going out to my readers, and another anonymously, people who didn't know who had written the book or what the book was. The Almost Sisters won in a landslide, both from my readers and just readers in general. That's the title they said they would pick up and read the book. Well, I mean, I don't dislike it. I came up with it and put it out there, so clearly I like it. But of the four titles, beginning with Origin Story and going through the rest, it's the last one I would have picked. But readers wanted to know about these sisters and what made them an almost, so I let it go. The Almost Sisters it is. From here on out, that's what I'll be calling it, and in a way, it's really helping me let go of the book itself. That was just step one, though. Now I'm in copy edits, which means going through the Almost Sisters, sentence by sentence, word by word, with a lid nailed down over the creative eye. No thinking about story, no thinking about character. Get the apostrophes in the right place, root out the homophone errors. I tell you true, nothing kills passion like fussing around in the grammar. On Tuesday, November 15th at 6:30 p.m., New York Times bestselling author Alice Hoffman is going to be at Foxtail. You've probably read The Marriage of Opposites or The Dove Keepers or Practical Magic. Oh, I'm a big fan. She'll be there to discuss her new novel, Faithful. Foxtail is at 105 East Main Street in Woodstock, Georgia. And while we're thinking about Foxtail Bookshop, a few days later, on November 18th, if you signed up for NaNoWriMo, National Novel Writing Month, Foxtail is holding an overnight. It's an annual event led by fearless author Beth Hermes. You can bond with other writers and be inspired by their enthusiasm and creativity and write all night long. The overnight ends at 7 a.m. on Saturday when the party moves to a local breakfast spot. For WABE, I'm Jocelyn Jackson.